Servant has to obey. And you know what? That's the name of Obadiah. See, Obadiah means a person who obeys God. That's where you get the obeying word in English. It's obey, Obadiah. That's how they used to name him on their language. So Obad means obey, and Yah means God, right? Or Yahweh, whatever you guys want to call it. And so I give you that assignment because I want you guys to understand when he gave me the vision similar to Obadiah. A lot of people take the scriptures literal. And it mentions Edom. And I told you guys that Edom is another name for Esau. And Esau was the brother of Jacob. And when you guys go to study God's word and look at the scriptures, you guys are going to find out the amazing things that God has done with the sons of Isaac. So a lot of people think that he's condemning Esau. But I wanna refresh you a little that that's not the point of the scripture, that's not the point of the vision. The point of a vision is a person. Doesn't matter if it's a descendant of Esau or a descendant of Jacob. It's to obey God. And when you obey God, God's going to bless you. God is going to bless you even when you disobey God. But he wants you to be aware of things. So when I ask you guys to study that book and to read that book, since we started the series about sincere love is full of compassion for everyone. See, because sometimes we misread the Lord Almighty. Sometimes we focus to see upon calamity that happened to people. And why these things happen to people? And why this and that? And how come I'm sick? How come this other person is going through these kind of things? And the rest of the people is like in a gate, in the land where everything flourishes. And I want to share with you when God gave me this scripture, this book to study, and I share it with Brother Matt. Two things that God has been pouring upon this series to me. Okay? One, he never loses the control. He will never lose the control. Alright? And the second one, to love. To understand how much God loves you and me. So the scriptures on the Old Testament, I told you guys last week, there is more times about God's compassion than the New Testament. The word compassion or something pointing you to compassionate, is you will find the God of compassion on the Old Testament. Because once and more and twice and thrice, and he keeps calling people to come back to him. To obey him. He's telling the prophets, tell my people that I don't want their tithes and their offerings. I want them to hear me out, to obey me. You guys are my voice. You need to want to tell my people these things. I love them. Desperately love them. But there is consequences when you disobey. And as a father disciplines a child, the Lord will discipline those who he loves. And I want to start that with today with that. I want to give you guys, see, when I share with you, read the book of Obadiah. Okay, how many people read it? You guys see that? Good. You know, the reason why I say that, because we are like that. We hear a person speaking, and I can't, whatever, shut up. I'm not going to do that. Oh, but I'm presenting myself as servant of God, just of Obadiah. And he's presenting the vision to people. But people tend to be like, in the gap, in the world. Eh, I already hear that. I already know that scripture. Well, you know what? What am I going to get by reading Obadiah? I don't understand the book. So people tend to wait upon people to direct them on the path of righteousness. When the whole book is, you guys will read it. I'm going to read it to you guys. Obadiah is pouring his heart out, the heart of God, to invite people to come back to him wholeheartedly. Look at what we have in here. You know what the scripture says? Love who? With all what? You guys see that? And that's our community slogan. Not our people just see the address and say, look what the scripture is. And we're behind the scripture for many, many years in there. But people don't tend to love. People don't tend to understand why is God commanding us to love Him like this with everything I have. See, listen to the title that what God gave me. Sincere love is full of compassion for everyone. This is week 3. See? Because I wanna thank you all who prayed for me. I wanna thank you for pouring some of your heart. You know, as I was in the hospital, I'm ready, go. I'm ready, Lord. Come on, bring it. I go, because I know it's better over there. But why did I cry out to God? I wanna hear my honesty answer. Lord, you leave me, I wanna continue serving you. I love you so much that I want to tell many people about you. Not because I want to stay, but I have a couple of meetings this week that I needed to share the word of God with somebody. And some of them are brothers in the Lord. And all this week, since God is telling me, listen, I never lose the control. Let it know. I'm in charge of this. Don't fight it. Just give it to God. And that's what I put out to my brothers. When the Lord speaks, you speak. See? If the Lord hasn't told me to say nothing, I'll stay silent. Because He still ministers even in the silence. He still works upon things. You think that He doesn't want to hear you cry? You're going to read it today. A lot of people, there is certain names in the scripture that I want you to understand, especially Edom, Sepharad, and Sephar. See, there's a lot of things that is in there for us to understand that the Lord, listen, I told you guys last week, there is 2 points, you know, that is left. East and west is never ending, north and south. So that people can come at the feet of Jesus and lean upon His chest. And when you look at up to the crown, you just look at the countenance of God, the love of God, the holiness of God. See, the body is just us. But God's containers, God's holiness, God's kadosh is that place that no one can understand Him. How He looks. How much blessing He has for you and me when we decide to walk in obedience with the Lord humbly. Without thinking, oh, I am all done with tobacco chips. Without thinking like, oh, you know, I know all the scriptures. Oh, I know this and I know that. Listen, I wanna read to you and I wanna pray after that because I wanna read the verse of that I give you guys as a end introduction. For I am the Lord your God, in Leviticus 11:44-45. For I am the Lord your God. You should therefore consecrate yourselves, and you should be holy. For I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You should therefore be holy, for I am holy. I'm giving you all myself to you. I'm the one who getting you out of captivity. That's what teaching represents. That we were slaves to the things that was enslaving us so hardcore. Oh, I want to be the number one of the church. I want to have that title. I want to have this. I want to have my job. I want to be the number one for everything. Everybody doesn't want to wait. They just want to go from the ground to become the owners of the company. All in the sudden. Same thing in church. People start to read about the scriptures and learn, and they just already want to be prophets and apostles and preachers and apostles. And they're just barely starting. No, nobody wants to wait upon the guidance of God. And Obadiah, his time, the Lord showed him a vision, and we want to read it. Amen. I want to read it, and then we pray. Because it's like 21 verses, something like that. Okay? Let's pray. Let's read. Obadiah number chapter 1, which is only one chapter in Obadiah. 1:1-21. The vision of Obadiah, this is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. See, the vision of Obadiah, period. This is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom.
or about Esau. Genesis 36 lets you know that Esau is Edom. It's the Edomites. He's referring to the people, not to Esau. To the people that came out of him. This is many years after Esau. So a lot of people think, even when we read in Hebrews or in Romans, Jacob I love and Esau I hate. He's not talking about them. The sons of Isaac. He's talking about his descendants. There are people, just because we don't study the word more deeply, we don't comprehend these things. So the Lord blessed, and you read Genesis, you will see how beautiful Isaac blessed Esau and blessed Jacob. But man, their children, said the children's children, just went cuckoo. Totally disobeying the commands of God, disregarding God. And so I want you to look at it like this, because I want you to understand sometimes we're cold and we're going to make sure that our kids follow our steps. And you should. Okay? It cannot be forced. Listen to the verse 44 on the scripture that I gave you. Neither should defy yourself with any creepy thing that creeps on the earth. Don't enslave yourself to anything here. Doesn't matter. Listen to what Jesus Christ says. If you don't love me more than your father and your mother. Is he telling you to hate your mother and your father? He's just reminding you to love him with everything. He doesn't want you to be a person that selects people. This one I love and this one I hate. That's not what the scripture teaches. He wants us to understand the capability of God's love, even within those who disobey him. That's why I'm stuck with this book for many, many months, because I want to pour what God poured upon me with you guys. We have here a message from the Lord. And an envoy was sent to the nations to say, rise, let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live on the cliffs of the rocks and make your home on the hills. You who say to yourself, who can bring down to the ground? Though you soar like the eagles and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If this came to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Will they not steal only as much as they want? If grape pickers came to you, will they not leave you a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked? He's hiding treacherous pillage. Rob, steal, taken away. All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. In that day, declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom, those of understanding in the mountain of Esau? That will be the man, okay? Your warriors, the man, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. On the day you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots up for Jerusalem. You are like one of them. You should not gloat over your brother in the days of his most misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait on at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own heads. Just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They will drink and be as if they had never been. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and Jacob will possess his inheritance. Jacob will be a fire and Joseph a flame. Esau will be stubble, and they will set him on fire to destroy him. There will be no survivors from Esau. The Lord has spoken. People from the Negev occupy mountains of Esau, and people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. This company of Israelites exiled who are in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharah will possess the towns of the Negev. The Libres will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountain of Isa, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you for today, God. I thank you, Lord, personally for what you have done through your servant this week, Father. I have seen the glory of God once more. I can stand in or not before your people. I said, Lord, and I confess that you are so good. You are attentive to their prayers, Father, in my prayer. Man, how many beautiful things occur, Lord, when we humble ourselves in unity, in one accord to pray for the well-being of someone else instead of rejoicing because the person is ill or sick or whatever the case might be. We just read the scriptures, God, that you've been talking to my heart so vividly, Father, to continue spreading your love rather than knowledge and wisdom like the people of Teman. Lord God, have mercy on us. Have mercy upon those, Father, who miscomprehend us and misread us, Lord. And give us an opportunity to redirect, Lord, to reaffirm that you are the only God that we serve. Lord, that we will take the blindfoldness, Father, from our eyes. That instead of hurting, Lord, that we will share your love. We're here today and we're going to be gone the next minute or the next second or tomorrow, God. And sometimes we focus so much upon things down here below. And I know, Lord, that that's our humanity because we are like that. We've been created like that. We've been a slave to that. Lord, but when we turn to you, when we fix our eyes upon you, man, your word is right and truth, full of grace, that we will see 1,000 falling to my left and 10,000 to my right. I see, Lord, with my own eyes, who is with us, who is with me, and I'm not afraid, for the Lord God is mighty and will always provide and be the rescuer and then the deliverer, which has read that your kingdom, the kingdom will be the Lord's forever and ever. Bless the reading of your word, God, and thank you for all things. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. So I share with you guys a little bit of the history of Obadiah, because I want you to comprehend these things. See, most of the prophets, brothers and sisters, speaks harsh things. And I've been telling some young brothers, please understand this. The harsh things are not for people. God will deal with the matters. God will be the one judging the living and the dead, not us. So when we speak, we're speaking figuratively. We're not speaking towards one person. The prophets of old, they were not referring to one person, to Esau or to Jacob. They were always speaking in general.
The floor is Hausco, for example. They're not just speaking of Memo. They're speaking of my entire household. Those who are with me, who are part of my home, who are part of your clan or your family members. So when they refer Jacob, Israel is turning away from me, you guys know that, that not all Israelites were turning against God. So you cannot generalize. Oh, they see the people from all day. That's why they opened the mouth and ate them as punishment. No, God has the control of things. He does certain things that you and I will never comprehend. And when we try to understand Him, we're just going to fall so stinky short from God's glory. We don't get it. Even when we try to fathom the way He loves us, you just don't understand it. Because we tend to have a feeling of love, an understanding of love. But His love, who can fathom? Who can understand Him? Who can say, I have figured out God and His word? Man, every time I read this book, even this morning, He gave me something else. It's living. The word of God is living and it's active. It's penetrating all yourself, removing yourself from yourself and exposing the desires of your heart. He knows exactly when we are pretending to speak starvas. He knows everything. When we're pretending that we're walking by faith and our faith is right in the ground. But because we're supposed to keep an appearance of a godly people, then we put up a heart of Christian. But our inside is rotten. So much calamity coming out of our mouths. Filling our hearts with the things of God, you want to speak life. That same man, listen what I just read to you. What it was done, it will be done unto you. Jesus Christ says, whatever you tie here on earth is going to be tied up on heaven. Don't you guys get it? It's the same message. Whatever you bound, it's going to be bounded. At what time? When the Lord comes. See, He never loses the control. He's always pouring people to edify people, not to destroy people. His enemies are Satan, death, and his demons. Those are your enemies. And He set up a table before you against His enemies, your enemies. It's never going to be people. To the creation of God, to the people of God, He's commanded you to do one thing, love. Love them. They will know that you are my disciples by the manner you love. See, so when I speak to you guys last week about these things, the only thing that we have in debt towards another is loving each other. Right? You're not supposed to owe nothing to nobody. If you get mad, apologize right then and then. Go to the nitty gritty right away. Don't go around the bush. Right to the point. And say, I'm so sorry. Listen what I read to you guys last week. To you and against only you, Lord, I have sinned. Only against you I have sinned, God. Because I wish I would not know what I know. I was telling Mateo, man, why do I have to go through the freaking cemetery? I wish I would not know what I know. But the knowledge that I had received wasn't from the man. I didn't receive it from no man. Yet, listen, guys, when you're growing up, you need somebody to guide you and to teach you. But when you get to the matureness, to the maturity, you don't need nobody to tell you, come and know the Lord. Let me teach you the word. Man, the word is right there, right next to you. But if somebody says, hey, can we study the book of Isaiah? And like, eh, whatever, I have other things to do. Then how are we going to share? How we want to instruct. See, I check with you guys that the word rebuke is instructing. It's never, a lot of people think that rebuke is going to come and say, you are doing wrong and you're doing this bad and all these things. No. That word has nothing to do with that type of rebukes in the Bible. That word rebuke in the Bible says to instruct. How do you instruct somebody? Look, little kid, sit down. If you go to that stove, it's boiling, you touch it, you just want to burn your hand. But I want to go touch it, then go ahead and touch it. You instruct them, but if they keep going to the stinky pot, they're going to get their hand burned. And guess what's going to happen? They don't go again. They want to learn the lesson. That's what God does with us. See, it's instructing people. It's teaching different than instructing. See, when you teach, you pour in everything now, like a drink offering. You don't hold nothing back. You don't think like, oh, I'm the theologian. I'm the Holy of Holies. I'm the high priest of the church. That's not how things work. Listen, Obadiah, his name is a one who obeys or a servant of God. That's what it means. And he humbles himself to the ground. You think that he didn't have no high priests or pastors on his time? He did. And he mentions them. When you study his word, that's why I want to share this with you, because a lot of people think like, hey, even when we take a reference to Isa, it says on chapter 36, and Isaac blessed both of them. He blessed them. Jacob and Isa. Remember Jacob? He kind of, let me make a little lentils and, you know, and tell me you'll be right. He was the treacherous. But the Lord spoke through his father and the servant. The older will serve the younger. And to this very day, they're still arguing with that. See, because Isa, listen what the Lord told him, don't go over there, brother. And there he goes, hey, let me borrow your daughter. I want to take you as a wife. And that one, and that one, and that one. That's what he did. Disobeying God. Challenging God. You know why? Because we're like that. We are blessed. And God is not going to take in account our messed up behavior. And guess what? You are blessed. And God is not going to take in account your behaviors. For he has removed the sins as far as the east from the west. Listen, he raised them. So Isa knew, but he, instead of choosing to obey God like kind of Jacob did, or the people of Israel, he went in the abundance of grace. That's the argument that you guys are going to go through the book of Romans in chapter 7 and 8. He understood that God, no matter what, is going to love me. And so he used that license to live a very unholy life. And then what he did, his descendants, well, they imitate the father. What you sow, you're going to reap. No matter what it is. But listen, but in contrast, that Isa, who was unholy, God gave a promise to Israel, to you and me. Entwining the both. Entwining both things. That's why you cannot separate that. I want to bless you. And whoever blesses you, I will bless. And whoever curses you, I want to curse. And your whole household will be safe. He told that to Jacob. He told that to you and me. Even though when we see our children in disobedience, you're standing on the promise that God gave you, that all the members of your home will be safe. That's how deep this thing goes. So when he says the vision of Obadiah, that's why I wanted to start with you, because God gave him a vision. To the other prophets, God will speak to them. Listen, there is many ways that the Lord speaks to his servants. Some people will have dreams. And they will pour out what God is pouring upon them. See, the whole thing of being a servant of God is that you give whatever he give you. It's not for you to be a hoarder. Whatever the Lord start ministering to you, if the Lord has ministered to me all these 3, 4, 5 weeks, I will never lose the control, Nemo. I am in charge, even of your health. And after several other tests on my heart, go home. We cannot find nothing. But you just told me that I was having an issue with my heart. Nothing. How beautiful is for a man to testify that your prayers were heard by God. Not in the sun, start feeling better. And I told my wife, let's go home. I'm okay now. No, I'm too late to discharge you. Okay, well, we're too late to discharge because, you know, she's the boss. So I had to listen to my wife. The vision of Obadiah, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You see, I love that. I love when how the people of old will speak the message of God. It's not what I say. This is what the Lord says. And this is what the Lord says. They always revere God with that reverence. With, you know, they were, okay, the people with wisdom on Teman, they were like the, like kind of today's the seminary. They will impart wisdom upon people. Let me teach you what this means on the Greek and on the Hebrew. This is what it means. But just one word, what about the rest of the letter? Then that's how people start taking the Bible out of contents because they focus only on one word. And take from the nutrients of God's message away. That's what they were doing, the people of Teman. They were false prophet schools in the times of these prophets. Imagine people went to school to become a prophet. And then walking like, I'm the prophet of the Lord. Who commands you? Even on the New Testament, we have some of those false. You guys remember? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who the heck are you? Because we were the sons of the high priest. They got beat up. Because they thought that they see Paul doing these things. I'm already working on the temple. My father is the high priest. I can do and cast out demons too. Oh, yeah? You know how beautiful Paul says? And how they're going to preach to them unless they have been sent. So those ones that obeys God, God start pouring. That's what I wanted to share with you about Obadiah. See, my communion with God, is all day long. I don't poke him in the shoulder. Okay, I told you guys a couple of weeks, I have an appointment with him at 12 o'clock of the night. And if I don't get up, I get a lecram and he puts me back to pray. Or something, you know, a pain on my belly or something, just to wake up and go meet him. I love it. Because there's many times where I'm going to be lazy. Come on, Lord. Can I pray with you around 2:45? No, I make a commitment. And then I meditate with him all day. So when he's pouring upon me, it's not just for me. It's for all of us. So I speak. You know, when Mateo first met me, and I read this verse to him, like, man, I love this verse. Because I believe, therefore I speak. You see, I believe this. And no one can take me away from this. No one will deter me to make me believe what I used to believe, you know, before I came to bow down before the presence of God. I know this is truth. I studied this. I went to study it to show people that I was made up by men. Man, and I met the God of Jacob. I challenged him. If you truly are the God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and Jacob, manifest yourself to me. And from that day, I haven't stopped serving him. And I already have believed. I already have confessed a great glorious church. I'm reading the faith, and I'm studying the book, and I'm trying to find contradictions, and I couldn't find one. And then I cry out, if you truly are who you say you are, then show yourself to me. That was one of my first experiences of epiphanies that I had on my walk with Jesus. And I share that with you guys not to glorify myself. It broke me. And when I think about that, I think how glorious God is. I think how marvelous his light is. I can even have words to describe it. Because my Bible also teaches me that the things that I was able to see, I it's not permitted for me to speak them. I cannot say this is how the garden looks. I can't. It's not biblical. If I tell you how, we might share it with you, it's like this. But there is no words for us to understand how that is going to be. So, before this, I'm gonna share with you verse 3. This is what happens to every Christian to every people who has belief on God. See, the first sin of the enemy, what was it? Exactly. We live in a society that has the flag of pride, who is deceiving themselves and deceiving others. Pride is the sin that makes Satan fall from his glory, from his position. And it will make you fall. When you think that you're all done with tobacco, she's, oh, my farts don't stink. I can walk and I don't care. So howdy, with the stiff neck, it's so stretched up that you're the only one who has the truth. The rest of the fools, they don't know the truth. Man, what a dangerous message that is. Culty mentality. It's a sect. And they have them back then. They have them. Only us are the ones with the truth. Nobody else. Lies from hell. Listen what it says in here. The pride of your heart has deceived you. Not what you do. Not what you not do. But this inside. I shared with you guys last week. We can put a mask and a hoodie of Christians. All the appearance with about Christ, about Jesus. But inside, what is inside? See, the Lord doesn't care about how you look. If you're brown, yellow, or green, He doesn't care. He's looking inside of you. He chose a shepherd to become very courageous, which I sang that song, to do marvelous things. But his brothers, they were good looking, big guys, you know, well fit for to take the position of this of a song. But he chose David. Don't let your pride, the pride of your heart, deceive you. Humble yourself before your God. Walk humbly with him. Listen, the other part I want to check with you is on verse 7. Your friends will deceive and overpower you. When you start hanging with the wrong crowds, listen what says in Corinthians. Don't you not know, brothers, that selfish characters corrupts people? When it's about I, me, myself, and I. Just I. They don't care about the feelings of no one else. It's my way or the highway. So, spoil. Sometimes, listen. I was sharing with a brother because somebody shared it with me, okay? A lot of people think that you're a soul. Jesus for 30 coins. And I have a dear brother of mine, you know, and you guys are reading his book. Says, no, he didn't sell him. He sold himself. Jesus was not for sale. I'm like, what? Yeah, Jesus wasn't for sale. Jesus told me, that what you're going to do? He told me, pay attention to the scriptures, to go do it quick. Jesus was never for sale. He is the one who determined on his heart to go and take those 30 coins. And then he was remorseful. And repent. I mean, not repent. I don't know. God knows. I don't know if I want to see him up there. That's why I don't want to say nothing that is not permitted for me to say. I just know what the scripture says. He went to where he belongs. Where he belongs, I don't know. He was a disciple of Jesus. Just like Jesus, I am. And I know where I'm going. I belong to him. With all my sins. With everything I do. Like I just told you about Isa. I know where I'm going. There's no perfect person in Christ Jesus. You're all going to fall short just like Judas did. Where he's going to go, and I don't want to convince you that maybe he's there. I don't. I don't know where he went. He knows. And that's all I need to know. I know that Jesus Christ knows. Right? So, and verse says, in that day, declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom, who those of understanding in the mountain of Isa, you warriors of Teman? So there is always people who take a post to your brothers and sisters that they are the wise people, the people with the wisdom of the Word of God. You know what I told my brother Matt the other day? Somebody comes to me, I just learned a new thing. I run away from those people. Because there is nothing else than what is written. That's how Joseph Smith started his cult. Because he brought another vision. A new vision. A new wine. Be careful. Make sure that whatever that person is speaking, even if it's me, make sure that I'm speaking is written. If not, run away. Run away, because I might deceive you. I'm even though I'm breaking the bread with you, I might be the one who is must pointing you to do the calamity of iniquity. No, you have to be wise. You have to understand the scriptures. You have to go and study the word. If you read Obadiah, that's what he's going to pour unto you all the way deep. That he's not referring to literally to Esau, but to his household. Same thing with Jacob. See, God has reserved things for us to comprehend and understand. And then it caught my attention when he told verse 12 to Obadiah, tell my people that you should not gloat, you know, to referring to the household of Esau, you should not gloat over your brother in the day of misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of disaster. Why? Because when the people were attacking to come in and seize Jerusalem, they knew that the back gate, the burning gate, was open. And instead of stopping them, they actually pointed to that burning gate for them to come in and see through Jerusalem. They plotted against their own brother or their own family members. How sad that is. You see why Jesus Christ says not even on the a prophet is welcome on his own household or his own family members? We preach and testify to our family members, and they just don't want to hear it. But there comes another crazy guy like this, been cousin talk to him or her, the same thing you were telling, and they give their life to Christ. At the same time, you don't get like, oh, I should have won into the Lord. No, you rejoice with them. You don't rejoice with the calamity. He says the day of the Lord is near two times. The day of the Lord and the day of the Lord is near. He's going to judge all nations. He's gonna take care of the matter. On verse 15. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done unto you. You this will return upon your own head. So the holy invitation on 17 is for us to be holy. Just with the thing that I gave you, the verse that I give you. And that day, when the Lord comes, the mountain of Jerusalem is going to be holy. I'm not talking about here on earth, okay? There's another Jerusalem coming above. There's another temple coming. The ones that happened here was just a shadow of the things to come. This is how the prophets used to speak. This is how the people have used to speak. Make people understand that everything on here is just a shadow of the things to come. Even the earth is groaning to receive its new body. You're going to have a new body. I'm going to have a new body. Everything that is happening here is just a shadow of things. With these words, we, you know, encourage one another. That pretty soon, he's going to come and we're going to be all complete, all whole. We're going to see him for who he is. We're going to be able to see his face and not die. Be in his presence at all times. And so when we start looking like that, we start longing for that day of the Lord, just like these people used to speak. The day of the Lord is coming. And it caught my attention that he mentions Jacob and his son Joseph, the rejected one. And his son Joseph has two sons. Right? And that's why you get the word Sepharad. The people that went to Spain because they were rejected. There is Jewish people that went to Spain. They call the Sephardis Jewish. That's where they got it from. Descendants of Joseph. So this gospel, when they see that they went to all the nations, see, or the other town, man, it just is... Sepharad. if you go deep to that root, that word is a consuming, purifying fire. God has elected his 12 and they rejected Joseph, and because Joseph, they got blessed again, and his two sons were beyond blessed. So he was purifying a new batch, a new people, to continue speaking of the greatness of God. So listen what he says. Listen, I want to read it to you. Yes, I'm glad that he reminded me of this.
Jacob will be a fire, verse 18. Jacob will be a fire and Joseph a flame.
He's talking about his descendant again. The Israelites. I told you what, they have a special fire, the Jewish people. They were selected, chosen ones to deliver the good news of God. Because of them, now we are in crafted in. See, because they rejected the Holy One of God. Then he, you see what he read? And all this will come to Mount Zion and they will rejoice and they will be deliverers. That's where you come in. You're going to be walking on that city, on that Jerusalem, on that Zion. Deliverers. Deliverers of what? Of the good news.
Joseph will be a flame. Remember Paul?
Fan that flame. See? Because I'm a Roman citizen. I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to see you guys can catch up those things. Because I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. From Damascus. From Tarsus, I mean. There was, God was always at work. He's always in control. He's always setting up people to hear the good news. Paul was persecuting the church, and now he became the persecuted. The persecuted became persecuted. So that's how beautiful God works. So that people will understand, if he was a Sephardi, he was a person from Rome, or from Spain, from whatever the case might be, he was preaching, he was longing to go to Sephard. He told that to the Romans, I will go to Rome, but I want to go to Spain. Because I have brothers over there. He was very smart. He knew that there was some Jewish people over there, according to Obadiah. That man was highly educated in the Word of God. So he knew. And that's where they get that word Sephar. Not only a consuming fire or a purifying fire, but also a different type of batch of Jewish people who wants to honor the living God. You guys remember the story of Joseph? He got kicked out of his own household. Sold to be a slave, and they become the great, the right hand of the emperor, or the pharaoh, or the governor, or the president. And then he held them, and they live with him on the nice outskirts of the coast, where everything grew. And the family of Israel became great. And then another wicked pharaoh rise up and says, there's too many guys of those. They're going to take over our kingdom. Let's kill them all. All those who are 2 years old, 3 years old, cut their hairs off. Send them to the crocodiles. And let's put them as slaves because no, they're so great. So God is always at work. God's always working. Do you think that he did not fulfill the promise to Joseph? No, he did. He's always at work.
Verse 22 says, the deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. That's what I want you guys to study on the book of Obadiah. I'm going to go really quick before I run out of time. I have 4 minutes. I'm going to share my first point. This. God has compassion upon them who are sincere. I want you guys to know that. God will always have compassion upon those who are sincere. And he's who bless and teaches everyone to revere him. On everything, don't let pride or any kind of arrogance interfere in your loving and get robbed from your blessings. Please, don't let pride rob you. Don't let that scripture hit me. I don't like memo. Don't let that go to that point. You know, you guys have to humble yourselves. If God is speaking, he's not speaking, you know, I don't know what you guys are going through. I just explained to you my week. It was an amazing week.
interesting week. And I still praise the Lord. Just to have to continue going and fulfill. Let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 38. Read, because I don't want you guys to be robbed by the enemy. You know, there is a lot of things I share, my sister. You're gonna think that I'm crazy, Sister Sylvia, but I'm so glad that you're going through this trial. What the heck? Why? Because I know now, and you must know now. And I told this to David and to Juan and to some other folks this week. The reason why we're getting attacked is because he's afraid of you. He knows what plan God has for you. And God will use all things for the good to those who love him. Listen what it says on chapter 6, 27 to 38 of Luke. Listen, okay? But you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. I told you guys last week that Jesus Christ kind of raised up the bar for us, higher than to the people of Israel or to the Israelites. See, they would have to go to, you know, kill a bull and all these other things on the altar and put burnt offerings, and then they will be cleansed. Man, well, you have been cleansed once and for all. But he's speaking to us very direct. He says in there, but you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Period. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. This is the key verse, okay? Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. So when the Lord starts pouring unto you, it's not for you to keep. Give it. Give your cloth, give your teaching, give your whole self in. He's speaking of his own testimony that he was pouring himself out. And he wants you to imitate him. Listen, I'm gonna go, they're gonna slam me, I want you to imitate me. You truly wanna drink this cup? Like he said in Obadiah, and they're gonna drink like they never, and they're gonna become like they never been. I drink this cup. You ought to drink this cup. In remembrance of him. That's what he's telling you. Do not let your reactions dictate your actions. That's very deep. The way that you react could change your actions. And that's why Jesus is giving you a little hint of what he's going to go through and how he's going to withhold and stand. Listen what he says in the next verse. Do not do to others as you will have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even the pagans love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those who whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even pagans lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. Listen, okay, but love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. I just told you that his enemies are those ones. Listen, hey, Lord, I come before you and I'm gonna sweep, you know, I'm gonna shake Jordan. Can I have permission for that? Yeah, go ahead. That's don't touch his life. And Jordan goes through everything. He lands without expecting back. But he's the one with the control. Hey, I'm gonna swift you like shaft, but I have prayed for you, Peter, so that when this happens, you'll die your brothers. God is always in control. Listen, what he's saying here is so profound. But Lord, your enemies do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward, listen, okay? Then your reward will be great. And you will be children of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked.
What?
So he mentions the enemies, and then he mentions you and I. I don't want you to take the Bible out of context. He lends to them so that he can test your faith. So you might want to go through trials and tribulation, but it's all good. Don't react. Just act. Take the R-E out. Just leave A-C-T. Act. That's how deep this goes. Listen what it says in the next. Be merciful. Okay, or be holy, if you don't mind. Because your heavenly Father is merciful. Be merciful because your heavenly Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given unto you. A good measure. Listen, okay? Press down. Shaking together and running over. That's the cup that you were supposed to have. Will be poured out into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Pour yourself out. Let your cup overflow. Don't get tired of doing what is good. Just do it and over and over and over again and again and again and again and again. Don't ever give up. The Lord is in control. The Lord is setting yourself apart so that you can see the marvelous work of God upon your life and upon your trials and tribulations. Don't give up. God wants us to be a blessing, just like God has blessed each and one of us. Since we know that we deserve his judgment, he has loved us instead. You guys give me 4 more minutes. I'll read another scripture for you really quick. Yeah? Let's go to Psalms 31, 10 verses, and then I'll stop. I want to read this Psalms to you. Because, you know, he's commanding you to look. He's commanding you to be real, in other words. He didn't want you to be pretender. He didn't want you to be speaking things that should not come out of your mouth. Listen, okay, what he's telling you. Verse 14 says, but I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Hallelujah. See, that's what I pray on Sunday. That's why I want to share this with you. My times are in your hands. Listen, at the right time, he never delays. At the right time, he never loses the control. Listen, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. I already explained to you who are our enemies. Amen. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realms of the dead. Not here, over there. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak. Speak arrogantly against the righteous. How abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you. That you bestow in the sight of all of those who take refuge in you. How beautiful is, you know, how the blood that has lavished upon us, the Lord. Who can understand? Listen, what John is just quoting from David. In the shelter of your presence, hallelujah. See, listen what it says here. I know that you're going to protect me, Lord. I cry out to you. My times are in your hands. Man, you're my God. In the shelter of your presence, you hide them from all human intrigues. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Man, praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love. I commune with the Lord, and I'm pointing unto you a blessing from God. Because I love my God. I know that my times are in His hand. I'm pouring unto you. Listen what it says in here. Praise be to the Lord for He showed me the wonders of His love. When I was in a city under siege, in my alarm, I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you hear my cry for mercy when I call to you for help. Love the Lord. All His faithful people. Love the Lord. All His faithful people. Listen what it says in there. The Lord preserves those who are true to Him. Don't be a pretender trying to speak Starbucks or Christian. Listen, those who are true to Him, but the proud He pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Be strong. You might be going through a lot of stuff. Man, He's in control. Listen, at the right time He sent, when we were still sinners, He sent His only begotten Son. At the right time, He's never late. Don't give up on Him. Keep trusting Him. Keep asking Him, Lord, can you please help me? My times are in your hands. Lord, I'm committing myself to you. I'm consecrating myself for you. I love you, Lord. I love you with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength. I don't know what you're going through. That's why I share this message with you guys. And I share with you that I was going to share Obadiah, because this is what God is pouring upon me. Keep speaking on my righteousness. Keep speaking on my mercy. Keep speaking on my grace. I set you apart. Listen, if God command me to do that, He might command Jordan to speak of his justice and His judgment. I don't have no say-so to whatever God is pouring upon my brother. We are many members forming one body. I want to agree, even when I disagree, because for any reason I'm thinking, geez, no, we have to agree. We have to understand that God is speaking to everybody in where we are at. But one thing He does, this He told me to share with you at the right time, and He never loses the control. He will bless you. He will take care of you. Amen? Let's pray out. Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you for today, God. I praise you, Lord, with everything I have, and I'm in awe of you, Lord. I perceive your presence, God. And I know that you are here. I know that you're among my brothers. I know that you're touching and fueling every single mind and soul and spirit, Lord. You're refreshing us every single day as we continue seeking your face, God. I pray that you will pour upon us a portion, Lord, an extra portion, God, for us to acknowledge and recognize that there is no one like you, Lord God, and that you have commanded us to share that love with as many people as we can. Lord, let us speak of your righteousness and your justice, God, because that's who you are. But let us be reminded that you're always faithful, God, just the way that you were with Esau and Jacob, God, and with the rest of the people of all, Father. With us even, Father, with our generations, Father God, we know that you have a plan for every single one of them, Lord. Let us learn, Lord. I share with my brothers, I don't ask you no more why, God. I'm asking you why you want me to learn from this, God. Please instruct me, because you are the one in charge and you are the one in control. And I thank you for putting that in my heart and in my mind. And I pray for the same thing for my brothers. In Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.
If you'd like to pray with Pastor Memo or Jordan, they are here up at the front to pray with you today.